Hey, this is Tommy Mack once again with our final installment of the British Interviews. As you may remember, two shows ago, I talked to a man in his 50s named Hugh. Last week was a 20-year-old student named Neil. Well, this week we have the indomitable Anne Doyle, who truly is one hell of a lady. However, I must warn you, she may not say things you are going to agree with. But as a liberal radio show, we wanted the truth about how people felt, and if we don't agree, then at least we kept our minds open. Okay, today we have yet another one for you right now. I'd like to introduce you to a very dear friend of mine. Could you tell me your name, please?
Anne Doyle. Yes.
What a proper British name that is. It just doesn't get more Anglo than that now, does it?
It's more Irish than English.
Okay, yeah, sensitive question, but do you mind giving us your relative age?
No, not at all. I was born in 1934. That makes me 69.
69 years old. Okay, yes. So that helps us because we interviewed some people that were younger and now. All right. Well, once again, thank you for having us come over here and interview you for the BCR Radio Network. First off, did you take part in your local or national elections recently?
Absolutely. Every time.
Every time?
Every time there's an election, I vote. I think women fought and died for the vote.
Now, here in Britain, you're known as either the Liberals or Conservatives, like the Labour or Conservative, Tory.
The New Labour.
New Labour.
Yes, New Labour I am.
Okay, is that like a centrist Labour? Kind of moderate in between?
Moderate in between.
Would Tony Blair be that?
Yes, okay, absolutely.
Do you find yourself always voting among those party lines, or are you more issue-based when it comes to local
politics? No, I always follow party lines. That doesn't necessarily mean that I agree with everything they do.
Okay, well, do you keep up with American politics?
Very much so, because a lot of my family live in America, and my mother lived in America for 4 years before she married my father, so it's always been uppermost in our family.
Well, what did you think of the 2000 election that put George Bush into office?
I thought it was scandalous that a country like America could fall into such a mess. And I hope to goodness before the next election that that doesn't happen, because it brought them into disrepute.
It is sad. And would you say that most people in England felt that the 2000 election was rigged? Or
not so much rigged as just a shambles.
Would you even go on a limb to say most people think that President George W. Bush is illegitimate?
Yes, but I do think that once he was elected then, and even his opponents said they would serve and support him, I think once that happens...
Well, we didn't have much of a choice now,
no,
did we?
No, that's right, exactly. Yes, I think it was appalling what happened, and they must make sure it never happens again.
Well, we're trying whatever we can. Well, speaking of George W. Bush, what do you think of his performance so far as a president? You can start with domestic issues if you like, and then we'll move on to the big war on terror. So just talk about the president himself.
Speaking to members of my family who live in America, none of them support him whatsoever because they think his domestic policies are terrible. I was recently in New York and Boston, and I said to my daughter, I do not want to go back to England until I find one person that says they support George Bush. And I didn't find one person.
That's staggering.
From taxi drivers to restaurants to where we... all kinds of places.
During that time, before the major war on terror, we did some unilateral things like pull out of the Kyoto Treaty on global warming, as well as the ABM Treaty. How did that go over here?
It didn't go over very well at all. It went home. They regard him as an oil man with much more interest in that side of life than, you know.
So majority, once again, thought that was wrong.
They did, definitely.
Well, let's jump into the big thing here.
The big thing.
The war on terrorism.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of people, including myself, thinking that, you know, how can you really have a war on something that is a technique? There is no enemy. It's just terrorism is a technique. And if you have a war on terrorism, why aren't we going after the IRA, the Chechen rebels, the narco-terrorists in South America, and anywhere where, you know, terrorism, which I'm going to define as random acts of violence against civilian populations for political means?
Well, generally, you see, the IRA are not a government. They're not a leaders. They're not a political party. Whereas Saddam was in power, therein most of the other terrorists all over the world are just terrorists. He was a leader of a country, and I think that's the difference. I supported him and Tony Blair 200%.
That's interesting. So let's talk about that then. I guess to you, the war against the Taliban in Afghanistan was justified.
Absolutely.
A lot of people in America thought so too, because the Taliban were harboring a Al-Qaeda training camps and ostensibly Osama bin Laden himself. And so I could see where a lot of people, even here and in America, would be for the Afghanistan. But I want to know your opinions. Why Saddam Hussein?
Because the people in power in Afghanistan were given a choice to hand them over, and they refused.
Okay.
And therein again, I see the difference. And say for, I felt very sorry for our Prime Minister here, and in a way George Bush, having to justify to the Joe Soap out on the street, who rarely understands or maybe doesn't bother to look into it, why they went to war. Because you see, the very fact that he ignored all those orders from the United Nations was sufficient reason. He was given chances time and time and time again.
Okay, when you say all the orders from the United Nations, are you talking about the weapons inspection?
Yeah, absolutely. And he lied and he lied and he lied and he lied.
Well, we haven't found any weapons, though.
No, because I think he's too cute for that. I think they were moved. I really believe they were moved.
How about this? If you did have weapons of mass destruction and a large superpower was coming in to invade your country, and when they find you, they're going to kill your sons and ostensibly arrest you and put you in prison, maybe to your death, don't you think you would have used them?
You think so, but you see, I've read an article one evening, and I thought it was interesting, and they said that you'd have to be mental to do what he did. They said Hitler did likewise. In other words, they were given chances and chances and chances, and they didn't take them. So it's almost like whether destiny says this is what they're going to do, that they just go on and on and on and fall right into the trap, if you like. He was given a chance. He could have gone abroad. They were right up to the very last moment.
But we had him contained for 8 years, or 9 years. And more importantly, there's a large amount of people that think going after Saddam in Iraq really had nothing to do with the war on terrorism, because he had nothing to do with terrorist acts on us or technically anyone around him. He was contained. And we actually took resources away from Afghanistan and finding Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. And of course, as of the last few days, we have Saddam Hussein. He's out of power. His regime's gone.
Absolutely.
But we're still orange alert in America.
Yeah.
And there are terrorist attacks still going on. So, once again, how did it help the war on terrorism?
I think they were afraid that the weapons of mass destruction he was quite prepared to give them to terrorists. I think that was the main thing. But also, if the United Nations are ignored, at the end of the war, the first war, if you like, with Iraq, they sat down and he agreed. But he didn't do it. He ignored, he kicked them out, he let them back in, he did just what he liked. And I think they had no choice. I don't think either of them, President or our Prime Minister, really wanted to go to war. They had no choice. And I think that now they've got to go full steam ahead and find Al-Qaeda. Absolutely.
You just said they had no choice. If you consider, though, the extreme cost, to benefit ratio here, okay, he could still be ignoring the United Nations and playing games with Han Blix or Ritter on the inspections programs, but, he'd still be playing the games. He would still not be developing them. We at least have them contained, and we wouldn't have spent over, I guess, $300 billion now, 480 American soldiers, not to count the other ones. There are now reports of over 8,000 wounded on Americans, and of course we can't get accurate counts of innocent civilians from Iraq, but we have gotten some good counts of military, and it's in the over 10,000 range. That's a pretty high cost for a very, very small benefit ratio when we should have perhaps used that money going elsewhere.
Well, if you look back in history and realize that Hitler could have been dealt with in this way.
If you're saying we should go after every evil despot in the world or dictator that's killing his own people, wouldn't you think that would become a full-time job now?
They must know there's no hiding place for them. I mean, it's interesting what's happened in Libya. If that isn't a turnaround, what is?
Well, then again,
brilliant.
Okay, in your opinion, do you think that was because of the war in Iraq?
Absolutely, and look at Iran are already.
Well, then again,
forward.
Libya did start doing the negotiations to actually pay for the Lockerbie explosions, and long before the war in Iraq.
Yeah, but it's the.
I think they were turning a little bit before.
They were turning a little bit before, but also you can almost see Iran is coming closer. They're asking people. They want some people from the United Nations to come in now, and I think they're scared. I think they know that George Bush and our Prime Minister means business. It's a fact. They're the only hope we have.
Do you think that Europeans feel the same way as you?
A lot of Europeans. I was ashamed of the people who went out on the street in England.
Why is that?
How could anybody call? I mean, I was disgraced to call the President of the United States and the Prime Minister murderers and blood on their hands. It was appalling. And they were misguided. They were misguided. They didn't have an argument when they were interviewed on television. They just didn't have an argument. You know, they came up with the most ridiculous statements.
Well, in America right now, we were flat out told by our government that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, 100%, and that we had the proof and that we knew where they were. And, you know, one of the quotes was, it's better to go after him now because the smoking gun may come in the form of a mushroom cloud. We were pretty terrified and went into war under these pretenses, which we're now finding out were pretty much, as you guys said in your newspapers, sexed up.
Yeah, I think they may find them yet. I really do.
Interesting.
I think Saddam may tell them where they are, if he ever knew. Or did he think he had weapons of mass destruction and his own people conning him into believing they had done something, got something they hadn't? Because he's not a very smart man, if you like. And I mean, his two sons. Boy, was I happy the day they died. As a Christian, I'm ashamed to say that. But as a human being, I'm delighted. Some of the stuff they got up to was appalling. I mean, they were evil people. He was an evil man. I watched a program one night, and apparently there was a girl he fancied, and because she didn't oblige, one of the sons set his two dogs on her.
There's no doubt the man was an evil man, and he committed a lot of atrocities. But we have that, once again, with so many other people in the world right now, where we have less to gain. For instance, Rwanda, or Zimbabwe, with President Mugabe.
Yeah, well, he's another evil man, isn't he?
But you don't see the big call for Blair and Bush to regime change in those countries, because, let's put it bluntly, there's nothing in it for us. There's no oil.
Well, people continually say about the oil, which always amazes me, because there's no evidence whatsoever that America has got 1 gallon of oil out of Iraq.
Who runs Halliburton?
Well, at the moment, there's no question about it. The whole country has got to be rebuilt. And, I mean, the country who spends the most on it is entitled to get the most contracts.
So you agree with if you didn't go to war with them, you don't get the contracts for France and Germany and Russia?
Not one penny.
Overall, do you think the world's becoming safer or a more hostile place?
I think it's scary what the Muslim fanatics, because I have some Muslim friends who are fine and they want to go about their life. They warned Britain 10 years ago. They warned them what was happening in their mosques. I watched a program one night. They warned, they got in touch with the police, they got in touch with the government, and they said our mosques are being taken over and our youngsters are being led down the wrong path. And they were laughed at. Nobody took them serious, and that's what happened.
By fundamentalists.
By fundamentalists, and the fundamentalists couldn't come in without the government giving them permission, but they thought it was just okay. You know, they didn't realize what was happening, and that's what's happened. They've taken over the mosques in most cases.
So do you have any answers?
I just think that what's happening at the moment, I feel much better flying now with the care they're taking, and if I was going to America tomorrow, I'd rather go with where there was somebody.
Well, ironically, I am flying to America the day after tomorrow, so I'm with you.
Yeah, you feel safer.
I felt safer flying on planes after 9/11 because no one will ever hijack another plane without becoming a grease stain by the rest of the passengers.
Yeah, I went there when I was in New York.
Yeah, I'm less scared by plane hijackings than I am other means of terrorism. Yeah. Like, I live in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
It'd be so easy to put a dirty nuke bomb inside a shipping container and blow up the port of Los Angeles.
Absolutely.
Wipe out half the economy.
Yeah.
So I think I personally don't think the world's becoming a safer place at the moment.
Well, I think the American government in particular are doing a lot. I don't think some countries are doing as much as they should be doing. I think we're a little bit lukewarm here, but I think we're moving along and getting more cautious. Because I think we need to. We all need to be on the alert. But don't forget that we've been through all this with the IRA, you know. And,
for quite some time. For America, it's pretty new for us.
Yeah, it's new for you. And I mean, each time when my daughter went buying for her shops in London, or my grandson and granddaughter work in London, you never knew what was going to happen to them with the IRA bombs.
Right. Hey, anything else you want to add? Tell you all our friends in America right now,
well,
100,000 listeners.
100,000 listeners. Well, I'm delighted to do this interview, and I hope that most of you agree with what I think. I'm sure there'll be some who don't, but that's what democracy is all about.
Liberals, by definition, have to keep an open mind.
Right.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So, hey, I want to thank you so much for participating with us and sharing your thoughts. And you've been a delight to talk to, and I can't wait to drink some of your tea now.
I'm just going to make some tea now and some nice fresh cream cakes, I think, there.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.